Okay, we're about to start a major sugya in your day. We've talked about the sugya a lot of times, but we haven't really learned the sugya itself. As strange as it may sound, since we're already in May, we haven't really talked about the sugya of Bittul Barov. We've talked about Bittul a lot of times, but Bittul Barov in the terms of the sugya begins, but the Gemara says in many places, in the Raisach had the tray bottle. Whenever you have a tarayvus of a majority, and again, assuming that there's no issues of tam, it's a min b'mino, so the Gemara uses the phrase in many places, with the rice achad betrei bottle. So 3 pieces of meat, 2 pieces of kosher, 1 piece of stray. So with the rice, it's going to be bottle. Whether or not lemaisa is going to be bottle or not, to be determined. At least with the rice, it should work. Question is, where in the world does this din come from? What's the mocha for this din? So strangely enough, the Gemara never explains how Chazal figured this out. Rashi, in a few places, writes that it's based on the pasuk of Achiram Mahatos. What in the world does have to do with Achiram Mahatos? I mean, a little bit of a background. The Gemara in the first part of the Seches Chulin, the Gemara asks the question, what's the... What's the source that we follow Rove? So immediately the Gemara picks up on the fact that the word Rove is a very loaded phrase. It means different things in different contexts. And the Gemara develops the idea that there are two different types of Rove in Halacha. There's a Ruba de Isakman and Ruba de Leisakman. Ruba de Isakman means... when all the numbers are in front of you, I see 10 stores, I count them up, 9 of them are kosher, 1 is treif, I find a piece of meat on the floor, so in our Torah I could follow the row. That's called Rub D'Isikamon, because I'm able to count, I can point to the sources of the problem. Rub D'Isikamon means when it's a statistical row, but I can't really point to anything. So say, for example, the Gemara says, how do you know you follow Rove that Rove behemus ain't on treifus? How do you know you follow Rove that Rove noshim are pregnant, give birth at 9 months? Those women don't give birth at earlier. So how do you know you can follow those kinds of Rove? So the Gemara says that's not really the same story as the stores. That's not the same thing. So what's the mokor for these different types of Roves? And the Gemara spells out and says that the mokor for Rube de Isakamon, that's supposed to be in Chumash, the fact that you follow Dayanim, 2 Dayanim say Chayav, 1 Dayan says Pontus, we pass in Chayav, vice versa, you always follow the Rova Dayanim. So Rova Dayanim is a classic Ruba de Isakamon. You can count up the numbers, they're all standing in front of you. But how do you know Ruba de Isakamon? So the Gemara got fishing for a mokor. How do you know that you follow Rova and it's not Isakamon? So Gemara brings rayas from Psukim about treifas, the fact that we're not cheshish, that the animals are treifa, we're not cheshish for this, we're not cheshish for that. Every time the Gemara tries to bring a raya, the Gemara is doichavar. A blot of Masechus Chulin, the Gemara comes up with absolutely no conclusive raya that there even is such a principle called Ruba de Leisikamon. Well, the mice we follow, everybody knows you follow Ruba de Leisikamon. So where does it come from? So the Gemara leaves us hanging, never gives us a mokor. Rashi, at the end of the sugya, quotes 2 different biurim. What is the ultimate mokor for the principle of Ruba de Leisikamon? Rashi says that one possibility is that although the Gemara thought that Ruba de Leisikamon and Ruba de Isikamon are so fundamentally different from one another that it would be inappropriate to derive Ruba de Leisikamon from Dayanim, at the end of the day, the Gemara backed out from that. Once the Gemara realized that there is no other mokor, and we know the Tanoim spoke about Ruba de Leisikamon, it must be the Tanoim understood that even though they're different, but not that different, they're both rooted in statistics. One is the statistics where the facts are in front of you. One is the statistics where the facts aren't in front of you. At the end of the day, it's all the same thing. And therefore, the mokor for all Rov is from Achiram Mahatos. Then Rashi says, Yehidei Shleimer, that the distinction between the two is really so profound that it is really impossible to learn Ruba de Leisikamon from Ruba de Isikamon. The only source Ruba de Leisikamon must be, for lack of any other source, it's Halacha Mashum Zidin. Rashi throws at us in the first part of Chulin, it must be the Chazal had a tradition. It must be Allah Hashem Sina. There's an institution called Ruba de Leisikamon, because it really cannot be learned that from Dayanim. So when all the dust settles, everybody agrees there's a din of Ruba de Leisikamon. Everyone agrees there's a din of Ruba de Leisikamon. Everybody agrees Ruba de Leisikamon is learned that from a pasuk. And unclear in Rashi whether Ruba de Leisikamon is also learned that from a pasuk or not. In the world of alumnus, the world of Sheikh Shmaitz, this Rashi becomes very important, because Sheikh Shmaitz has a very famous yesod that Ruba de Leisikamon and Ruba de Leisikamon work differently. Not just are they different in terms of is the rove in front of you, but conceptually they're very different. Sheikh Shmaitz develops a whole yesod that a ruba de Leisikamon is betur as biror. When you have a statistical rove, when the miut is not lefaneinu, I can't point to the miut, so then the rove is mevar, this is the emes. When you have a ruba de Isikamon, every ruba de Isikamon has a miut de Isikamon as well. So when there's a one treif for store staring you in the face, but 9 stores in Cedar Lane Kosher, one treif, from that store staring in the face, you can't say that the robe is mevarer, that the miut doesn't exist. What do you mean the miut doesn't exist? It says in the store, trade. Once it exists, elowah, it's a dinar hog, it's a chiddush haTorah, that you're allowed to ignore the miut. So the Shmaitza claims that that conceptually in the world of Lamdus, so Ruba de Leisikaman is really better than Ruba de Leisikaman. Ruba de Leisikaman is Shvach because it's true the robe is Leisikaman, but the miut is also Leisikaman. And the miut that's Leisikaman stares us in the face and forces us to say it's not really B'Torah Zbir, it's really B'Torah Zan Hoga.
Don't they say that, even though Remeishita is Cheshina
Me'ita, it's not true by the case of Ruba de Leisikaman? Right. So they have a lot of Gemaras that seem to have to be understood in light of the Sheshmaitza. The Sheshmaitza has this very, very big Yisoid. Well, he claims that the two are really working differently. So you have to work out some of the Gemara's don't sound like. Some of the Gemara's sound that Udalei said, come on, is maybe not as good as Ruvudi said, come on. You have to work out these Gemara's according to the Sheshmaitza. But that idea of the Sheshmaitza, that the two are so radically different from one another, in conceptually, in Lamdos, that doesn't seem to fit into one day in Rashi. Rashi says they're all learned from the same pulse. It's all the same thing. You can really derive one from another. How can you derive one from another? If one's a beer, one's on hugger, they have mamash to do with each other. So that whole shtickle of the Sheshmaita seems to be working with the idea that they are so different from one another that even the sources are different from one another, and Lomdus, conceptually, they're working different from one another. But at the end of the day, the Gemara in Chulin only addresses these two concepts of Rov. It only talks about the source from Disikman with the Leisikman. So Rashi, in a few places, writes that when the Gemara has another din called Midarais Echad B'Trei Botel, which is neither of the two, Midarais Echad B'Trei Botel is a din of Echus Taroives, so Rashi says that's also learned out from Acharei Mahatus. So according to at least one din, Rashi, all three manifestations of Rov and Halacha are all learned out from the same place. V'Disikman, Leisikman, and Bitl B'Roiv as well. How in the world did Chazal see that Bitl B'Roiv is derived from Parshat Hadayonim? It's hard enough to see in Parshat Dayanam Ruvud Isakamon. It's hard enough to see in Parshat Dayanam Ruvud Leisakamon. According to one day in Rashi, we don't even see it. But where in the world do you see the idea of three pieces of meat, Chad B'Trei Botel? Where did that idea come from? What in the world does that have to do with Parshat Dayanam? Where's the Bitl in Parshat Dayanam? There's no Tarevis in Parshat Dayanam. Where's the Bitl Beroiv in Parshat Dayanam?
What is Parshat for on the Torah? Why wouldn't you bring that, Rashi? Why wouldn't you bring it there then?
Because that Rashi is so long, that Rashi, like, around the Hattas, gives you 15 different shatim. We ran out of time already. And, especially
there he is, like, his mom's Diana, he doesn't have to bring kashrus up.
Rashi doesn't have to say every shtickle Torah and every positive homish. He wants to give you a pshat in the psukim. Rashi says, I'm giving a pshat in the psukim. It's a psukim talk about dayonim. It happens to be the tashrata. We extrapolate from the every year a day as well. But where in the world do you see anything in parashat dayonim, around the Hattas, anything to do with bitl berayim? So there is a word from Reb Chaim. It's quoted in the Chiddush Reb Chaim on Lashas, in the beginning of the third path of Bava Kamma, where Reb Chaim explains that Licht and Parshat Dayanam are really two different applications of Rov. Whenever you have a Din Torah, so two Dayanam are saying Chai, one Dayan saying Potter, so there are two applications of Rov. Number one, we have a latest Asafik. So we're trying to figure out, what do you do when you have a Asafik? I don't know. Did he break the wind? Did he not break the wind? I have no idea. So two of the Dayanam finally came to the conclusion, after hearing all the evidence, and all the Shakamatai, and all the Masamatan, so two of the Dayanam came to the conclusion that he probably broke the window. And one of the Dayanam came to the conclusion that he didn't break the window. So now what do we do? So we're a Asafik, we're a Bezim, don't know what to do. So the Torah says, when you have a latest Asafik, so you follow the Rov. So that's one application of Rov. That's when they have the latest Asafik. So the Torah says you follow Rov. Over the other Paskin in one way, that's probably what happened. That's one of the mechanisms the Torah gives us. Either with Torah's beer, with Torah's hug, whatever you want to call it, but that's a way of being Mevarer Sveikus or being Noik Sveikus. But then there's a second application of Rov, says Reb Chaim. Even if we're going to say that two of the three Dayanam are passed in the direction of Chayav, means those are the odds are, it's most probably that he broke the window, they Chayav Mamon, we have another problem. The first mission, Sanhedrin says, Dini Mamon is Bishloisha. Means when you have a Pesach of a Beis Din, so the Beis Din has to pass in a certain sense unanimous. It has to be, the Beis Din of Shloisha has to come to the conclusion that it's Chayav. What do you mean the Beis Din of Shloisha comes to the conclusion that it's not true? The Torah says, Echaram Mahatas, two of the Dayanam say Chayav, one Dayan writes his dissenting view. So the Beis Din didn't come to the conclusion that the guy is Chayav. So how could the Torah say that Echaram Mahatas, the same Torah that says Echaram Mahatas says, Dini Mamon is Bishloisha, how can that be? So Reb Chaim says it must be that licht in the parashat of Dayanim, is the fact when two out of the three Dayanim say that he's Chayav, the third Dayan becomes Batel Barayv. That means it's as if the third Dayan says Chayav. The third Dayan takes on the characteristics of the other two. So two say Chayav, one says Batel, so the two that say Chayav swallow up the third Dayan. So that's the principle, says Reb Chaim, of Batel Barayv. That's the exact same thing as when you have three Chatichas all mixed together in a basket. Two are kosher, one strafe. So the din of bittul barov means it's not a sofek. We're not passing bittul barov based on hechasvekis. Bittul barov means that the dover hamiut is losing its characteristic. It's losing its traits of iser. It's becoming bottle. Bottle means it's gone. It means it's negated. Its characteristics are negated. It becomes tofel to the other two. So how do you know? Vishtei the chumash such an idea. So the Chaim says that's din of mamnas b'shloisha. Otherwise, you don't have a psak beizin. If you don't say that the one dying who's a miut is bottle of the two that are in kayab, then the whole institution of passing and shayat din of mamnas b'shloisha falls by the wayside. We're going to get to the application of this, okay? So this is Reb Chaim's theory. It's very hard to understand this because one of the absolute prerequisites for bittul berov is the fact that it can't be nikra iser. We've seen this countless times that nikra iser is the ultimate undoing of a bittul berov. We saw different applications of nikra iser. We thought nikra iser meant the kimamer see the iser, nirulei nayim. So who remembers? The Rashba told us what? What else is kaveh that's nikra iser? Tom, remember the famous kasha de Rashi ben Chulin? How can the Torah say there's a din of bittul barov, and the same breath say there's a din of tam kikar? Isn't every tam kikar still should be mutar al bittul barov? So we weren't really sure we understood the kasha in the first place, but the Rashi thought it was a kasha. So the Rashi said, no, since you can taste it, that's called nikra iser. Whenever it's nikra iser, it's nishkin tarayv. It's nishkin tarayv, and there's no bittul barov. Then we say, who else? We remember some other funny applications of nikra iser, some other kind of make-believe nikra iser. Who remembers the Rosh, no? The Rosh by Chayz Vineya, right? Right, remember, so the Rosh on the one hand was the biggest make. We'll get to this Rosh a little bit later in Simon Kuftas. The Rosh was the biggest makel to say that when you have a Tarev of Chai B'Tre, you can eat all three. You can eat all three mamash together. You can make a sandwich, all three slices of meat at the same time, you can eat it. So then the Rosh asks, Abba Zoi, how come there's a din of Chayz Vineya? How come there's a din that if you add in more Isser, so then the bittul becomes undone? So Takasam Rishonim was so bothered with the Kasha, they said, what? He said, there is no din of Chayz Vineya. Who was the Rishon who said that? The Rabbi. The Rabbi said, there's no Chayz Vineya. So the Rosh said, he can't believe it. I thought there's a din of Chayz Vineya. There's a din of Chayz Vineya. The Rabbi was unbelievably makel. Chayz Vineya doesn't exist even where? Even when there's, even Lach Palach, even though there's Nesinus Tam. So that was, the Rishonim couldn't believe that. But the Rosh said the opposite. The Rosh said that there's no such thing of Kama Kama Bottle ever. You always say Chayz Vineya even by Mim B'Mino, even when there's no Nesinus Tam. So the Rosh asked on himself, hey, wait a second. If I'm the biggest support of the idea of Is and Nepach Lios Heter, you can eat all three pieces together. So what's Pshat HaChayz V'Neir? So the Rosh developed the Yisai. No, that's like Nikar Isser. So Nikar Isser, that's a statistical Nikar Isser. It's not a physical, it's not Lafi, it's not a visual Nikar Isser. So we saw there's a principle of Nikar Isser, and then the Rashba extended it to Api Tam, and the Rosh extended it to Api Statistics. But everybody agrees that there's such a thing called Nikar Isser. Two dayanim are saying chayiv, and one guy saying potter. He's screaming, I'm writing my dissenting view on the Supreme Court. I'm writing potter, 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 potter. So he's not potter bereif. He's not potter bereif. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that when they come out of the chamber of the court, so the guy who said potter is not allowed to announce to the oilim that he's potter. Why? Because it's rechilas, because then he's being mitzi, he's taking lashon hara against the other two dayanim. So the baladin who lost is going to be mad at the other two dayanim. Kolzman, he doesn't say who voted against him, so he's not going to get angry at anybody because it will always be Dadich from the Chavschus. Mistama, he was the dissenting view. Mistama Yenim was the dissenting view. But if the one die and identifies himself, they've been the dissenting view, and the other guys were the ones who got into trouble, so he's going to get into a fight with them. So the Mishnah says it's not a good idea, but on the Chaveira, it's a very bad idea to publicize your dissenting view. But Lamais is still dissenting. At the end of the day, he takat the dissent. When the other two, the Adam knew that he was disagreeing with them. So, Vospa bitul b'raim. How is that this? I never really understood this, Reb Chaim. That's what Reb Chaim says in the Skor in the Chedushim in Maseches Bava Kamma. I don't think so. Really, I have three pieces of meat, so they all have packaging on them. Two salami say you in them, and one of them says chazer on it. So I'm allowed to eat all three of them because it's bottle barov. It's honest, right? Because again, it's not bottle barov. So I don't understand. I'm not sure I understand the Shulch Chaim. This idea that Rashi already got the ball rolling, that the mokor for bittul barov is learned out from Parshat Dayanim, whether you like Reb Chaim, you disagree with him, whatever it is. But Lamaisa Rashi already said it. The Rashi, Rishonim already make this link and say, this is the mokor for bittul barov. So it's based on this that we can begin to assess a question that appears in the later Acharonim, The Shach says something about this topic, it's just unclear what in the world the Shach says. The Gemara always uses the phrase Chad Betrei Batel. That's the Lashon Chazal always use. Chad Betrei Batel. So the question is, how literal are those numbers? How literal is that ratio of Chad Betrei? So there are some Acharonim who wanted to argue that it has to be a minimum of Chad Betrei. You have to have a 1-2 ratio of Isser Heter in order for Bitl Barov to work. Let's say you have 5 pieces, and there are 3 of them I know are frakta kosher, and 2 of them I know for a frakta treif, and they all get mixed in. So now I don't have a 2-1 ratio, I have a 3-2 ratio. So that's not good. If I have 6 pieces, and 4 of them are kosher, and 2 of them are treif, so do a little fraction. So you have the same ratio, 2-1, that's okay. But if the ratio is only 3-2, that's not as good as 2-1. So some of the Acharonim say that's no good. This is dim and darais, you wouldn't say bitl barov. And others say, what are you talking about? Bitl barov doesn't mean literally 2-1. Chazal said Chad Betrei because they were talking about the smallest possible number, so they gave you the smallest fraction, 2-1, the 2-1 ratio. But it could be 3-2, it could be 9-8, it could be 475-474. As long as you have more than 50% of kashas, then you can apply the principle of Bitl Barov. So Shlomo Eger wanted to bring a raya from Parshat Hadayonim itself. There's a din of Bitl Barov in Parshat Dayonim, so there are different applications of majority in Parshat Dayanim. And Dina Mamanish, I said, I don't know for the next year. Dina Mamanish, Mishloisha. But Dina Nefashas says, yes, Mishloisha. You need 23 Dayanim to pass in a Shaila and Dina Nefashas. And if you have a rove, so then you follow a rove. So what constitutes a rove for the purposes of Dina Nefashas? So the Gemara says you can have a rove of 1 or a rove of 2, depending on what area you're passing. If you're passing the chov, you're passing the schus. If you're passing the schus, so then 12-11 is going to win the day. If you're passing the chov, there's a special exist across of lo siach iram the rolls. The special din, the yata fatiyascha the chova, has to be a minimum of 2 dayanim. So the way the math works out in terms of din nefashas, if you start off with 23 dayanim, the Gemara is after Mesukim, 23 dayanim. So if you start up with 23 dayanim, if you have just a psak of 12 against 11, that's no good, because then you didn't fulfill that added component of hatayascha lechov apishnayim. So you have to have a minimum of 2 on the side of chayva, because then days in shokel, so you can't have a 12 on 10. So you have to have another dayan in there, so you're going to end up with a 13 to 10. So in order to bring a guy to Mechayev, a guy in Mises Beis Din, you're going to have a 13 to 10. So that's a fulfillment of acharam mahat. So you had kapaskin, a din of din nefashas, based on a robe of 13 to 10. I don't remember my math that well, but 13 to 10 is not a ratio of 2 to 1. So Shlomo Eger says, Zem from there, you see from here that there is no such thing as 2 to 1. That if the whole mokor for Chad Betrei Batel is learned from Parshat Dayanim, so just as in Parshat Dayanim Gufa, there is no requirement of 2 to 1. Or in Dinami, there's no requirement from Bitl Barov if Tarov is a 2 to 1 as well. So it's unclear in Shulchan Aruch how we pass it. Again, it's a cryptic statement about the Shach, which that's the number. Starts to add up chatichas. So it's not clear exactly what the Shach is talking about. So here, if the Achmerim thought the Shach was requiring with 2-1, here, if the Achmerim thought the Shach wasn't requiring with 2-1. Yeah, not the most common in the Shaila, but that's it's an important application just to how serious we take Parshas Dayanim as the mocher for Bitl Barov. Although the Gemara says in many places that Midaraisa Chad.
I didn't think it was a suffix in the Shach. I thought some people passed him against the Shach, and the suffix in the Shach. Was
it's not clear.
Kamus or minion.
It's not clear what the suffix in the Shach is. That's the problem. Some Acharonim learn the Shach one way, some Acharonim learn the Shach another way. He has a funny,
right, but
funny phrase.
The two ways in the Shach were like the Shach is clearly saying that all I need is that even if the two chatichas are smaller than the one chatichah,
right.
I'm good. And the machlokus was. But Sirif, are they Sirif smaller than
so
the one Chaticha, or together are they, or Sirif, are they larger than the one?
No, but if you hold that they're Sirif, they end up being 2-1. They may be.
No, it's not that anyone is saying he needs 2-1. That's like a separate sheet, though. That's not the Shav. That's totally not the Shav.
I have to take a look again.
Like, meaning if I have a piece of meat that's 2 pounds, and I have 2 pieces of meat against it. Is the Shach saying those 2 pieces of meat could each be just under a pound, so even together they're not 2 pounds?
Right.
Or do they need to be each just over a pound, so that together they're just over, a mashu over 2 pounds? Or is it even okay if together they're not over 2 pounds? But I didn't think anyone was saying that the Shach was saying 2-1. I thought so.
Okay, I think we can. Okay, I remember the numbers. I remember the numbers exactly. Take a look. Okay, I don't remember. So, Kopan of the Gemara does say in many places, Midaraisa Chad Betrei Batel. So, whether you like the smoke or not like the smoke, the din is the Midaraisa Chad Betrei Batel. So, the question is that only Midaraisa, or is that even Midarabanan? Is there any kind of a Chumud Rabban that's thrown into this equation? So the Gemara has the famous statement in the seventh paragraph of Pulin, where the Gemara is talking about the different shurim of Bittel. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Lamaisa you require Shishim. And the Gemara talks about Amar Rabbanan B'Taima, Amar Rabbanan B'Shishim. So the Gemara says that Amar Rabbanan B'Taima, when do you follow Ta'am, namely when do you follow Kfeila, Mikra Din? So that's when you have a Min B'Shena Mino. When you have Min B'Mino, obviously you're not going to follow Ta'am, there is no Ta'am, you're not going to follow Kfeila. So the Gemara says Min B'Mino is going to be B'Shishim. Then the Gemara throws in for good luck that when you have Min B'Shena Mino and there's no Kfeila, then you also follow Shishim, which is the practical application. Since we follow the Ramo, said that we don't rely on Kfeilas anymore, so the Maisa ends up everything's B'Shishim. So the Gemara says, "Pemoli that mibimino need shishim lemaisa lemaskanas advar mibimino need shishim." So the question is, how do you resolve these two statements? On the one hand, the Gemara says that with the rights chabatir bafil, and then the Gemara throws at us this din that amra bonan b'shishim, which translates to mibimino need shishim. So there's a major machlokes of Rishonim how to resolve those two statements. So one group of Rishonim, say the answer is very simple: midaraisa chabatir bafil. But midrabanan, you require shishim, finish, not the first, not the last in the rabbanan. So you have to have shishim at least on a level of the rabbanan. And the Rush disagrees. The Rush says no, that there is no din derabanan necessarily. Sometimes it's a din derabanan, sometimes it's not a din derabanan. Sometimes the din is midaray sechad betray bato lagamre, and even halach lamais. And sometimes the requirement of shishim exists. Going to the Ram and the Ravid, there's the whole din of the rice, chad b'tray bottle doesn't exist anymore. It was almost shelved away, it's been thrown out of Rebbe Chazal long ago. But according to the Rush, no, it's not true. Sometimes it exists and sometimes it doesn't exist. What does it depend on, says the Rush? So the Rush says it depends whether it's derech yavish b'yavish, whether it's derech l'ach b'lach. If it's derech yavish b'yavish, you have three pieces of dry meat that are never cooked together. They're not literally mixed together. They're just sitting in a basket together. And now you get mixed up and you can't tell which is which. So then, not only is midarais chad b'tray bottle, but even midrabanan chad b'tray bottle, even lamais it's chad b'tray bottle. When do we insist that you require shishim? So that's a chumah midrabanan. When everything is nisarev legamri, when it's derech believer, it's derech lach palach. So then and only then do we require midrabanan to a shishim. Why should that be so? Why should the chacham have made the gezeira to require shishim sometimes and not other times? So the Rush in the seventh bank of Chulin gives you this whole pismah, this part of his whole theory about the requirement of shishim in general. So comes the Rush and says, why do we ever need shishim? Where did the whole shishim come from? So if we don't know that by May, we're in big trouble. So the original source for shishim is really the Gemara's response to the reality of Tam. The din is that Tam is ki'ikra. Whether it's truly ki'ikra midaraisa or maybe ki'ikra midarabanan, so that's of course subject to many, many different opinions in the Rishonim. But at the end of the day, the Mishnah says there's a din of Tam. The Ma'aseh, the Mishnah, the seventh paragraph of Chulin says, whenever you have a taraivas, so you have to reckon with Tam. You have a min mishnah, I mean, you have to reckon with Tam. The daraisa, the rabbanan. So the Rosh says, is that true? The ikra din, let's assume for now it's deraisa. The ikra din deraisa of tam ki ikra, namely, which translates to min shishim, only makes sense when you have a mimish and amino. But there's a very real concern with the Rabbanon that if we let people follow the din deraisa of min demina barov, so then tomorrow they're going to violate the din deraisa of tam ki ikra. Why? Someone's going to come to the rabbi and ask a shayla. So I say, a little bit of tray for chicken soup, fell into my kosher chicken soup. So the rabbi's going to tell him, rightfully so, the din deraisa, the din deraisa is right. You have 2 to 1, 7 to 6, whatever the numbers is. Nice, if you have a rove of kosher chicken soup, so minat Torah, it's going to be mutter. And really, midrabanan should also be mutter. There's really no reason to aser it. But what's going to happen tomorrow? The same balabas is going to have some tray for chicken soup fall into his potato soup. So he doesn't want to bother the rabbi because he asked the rabbi yesterday. So why should I bother the rabbi 2 times in a row? That's what most people think, right? Well, most people don't want to bother the rabbi. So we estimated the shayla yesterday. So the Baba Basa is going to be Madame Milsa La Milsa. He's going to say yesterday the chicken soup was batel. Today the chicken soup is also batel. Not realizing that yesterday was only a shayla mit the rabbi. And today is a shayla deraisa. And today's chicken soup is not batel. It has to be batel b'shishim. You have to get rid of the tam mit deraisa. So the Rosh says that's the reason why Chazal made a gezeira. And the Gemara says in the seventh paragraph of Chulin that min b'min requires shishim, not just stam hilchasa b'lo taim. It's a very good reason. The reason is it's a gezeira otu min b'she'eino mino. So comes the Rosh and makes a chesh, and he says, b'med d'ram amurim, that it makes sense to make this gezeira. That's when the corresponding case would really be a deraisa. So when you have things that are bolol b'yacha, things are lach b'lach, things are mixed together, so you're asking for trouble mid deraisa. So it's very easy to mistake a min b'mina for a min b'she'en u'mina. When you're dealing with the taroivism of yavish b'yavish, what's going to go wrong exactly? What are we afraid of? We're afraid that a person's going to make a mistake. They're going to think, if the rabbi told me that my trefa salami got mixed into two kosher salamis, so that's going to be okay. So tomorrow I'm going to say when my kosher salami got mixed in with my kosher potatoes. They're not cooked together. They're just sitting there. Everything's sitting in the same basket. It's a min b'sheino mino. Well, what kind of late sonus is that? Who can ever make that mistake? He said that the terefa salami is terefa, the potatoes are kosher. There's no taroibus. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So comes the Rosh and says, by yavish b'yavish, there's no need for a gezeira. So therefore, when Chachamim formulated this gezeira, the Rabbanan called shishim and min b'mino, it wasn't a low plug. It wasn't across the board. It was if and when there's something to be concerned with. So when it's derech b'libim, it's derech lach b'lach, it's derech bishol, when there's a real taroibus taking place, there's a real mixture of potential quote-unquote tastes, so then they made a gezeira otam mimashein amino. When there's no taste at all, so then they left them in their ice, they're called yavish b'yavish, is chad b'trei botel. That's the Rosh's theory to what's going on in the sugya. How come other Rishem disagree? How come the Ram disagrees? How come the Ram says that the Rambam's yishuv to the two gemaras, how come sometimes we speak about botel b'raib and sometimes we talk about shishim, it's not different taroibus according to the Rambam. The difference between the two Gemaras is one's derais and one's lamais and the Rabbanan. Why is that? So obviously this is the Rambam Shittasa, because the Rambam held that the reason why Chazal insisted on Shishim in the first place has nothing to do with Gezeiras or to anything. The Rambam writes Befeirush. The reason why Chazal insisted on Shishim is because Ovda is never Miutai. That although Midderaisa, it's true, the Chabetre Batil, but Midderabbanan, the Chamim didn't think that looks nice. They thought that it has to be really, really bittul, as we said many times. It's your bittul means, but it's no chashivas to it. The bittul Torah mashal, the bittul avodazara mashal, everything is, whoever's going to be bittul, it's got to be much worthless. So the Chazal said that even though on a deraistic standard, it's chabitre is bittul, but to us, it doesn't really look like never iser. The average mind, it doesn't look like never iser. So therefore, midrabbanan, they threw up, you know, they hiked up the shia bittul a little bit. That's why certain things which are really, really chashiv, the Chazal threw their hands up and says, it's too chashiv to be bottled. It's a dover, shaminyan, chdichu liskabe, a beria, whatever, different kinds of things that are so chashiv that we can't invoke anything of a bittul, even the Rabbanan. So according to the Rambam, who says that the institution for the Shir Shisha was not a direct cause and result, gezeira, otto anything, so then according to the Rambam, it's takal l'shitah, so there's no reason to differentiate between mimbamino versus mimbashen amino. So when the Gemara says chad betrei bottle, that means midaraisa, but midarabanan, there is no such a thing. So we already spoke about this machlekes the Rambam and the Rosh as to why shishim exists. Is it a gezeira otto nice and tam, or is it somehow an issa derabanan b'fnei atzmo? So the Chavarim point out that this machlekes is really shitasam, it's really machlekes nuchas tam kikr. If you hold that tam kikr is a real deraisa, the Rosh held, the tam kikr is mamash deraisa, the Rebbein Tam, shishim is a real din deraisa, but the Rosh held that way. Literally, I held the Rebbein Chaim's version of tam, whatever, some kind of din deraisa of tam kikr. So then, if there's a real deraisa of tam kikr, so then it makes sense to start making gzeiras. If you hold that there's no such thing as tam kikr, the Rambam had a very, very watered down version of tam kikr. So, but by kedechless process, it's never going to happen. It's not real tam kikr. The requirement of shishim, according to the Rambam, was never deraisa. If the din of shishim, even by mimbashein amina, wasn't deraisa, so it seems pretty superfluous to make a gezeira otu a din derabanan. It's almost smacks of a gezeira of a gezeira. So this is all the whole theory. This is Simon Tzadiches, combining that with Simon Kuftes. A whole fundamental theory, two different theories in the Rishayim, where shishim came from in the first place, whether shishim makes any sense by a tarovus of min b'mino. So when all the dust settles, it's machlekes harishayim. Is there still anything left to the din derayis of chad betrei bata by yavish b'yavish? This grandiose din learned down from Parshat Tayonim, but Nikir, we don't know how it works, but lemaisa, some kind of a din derayisa called derayisa chad betrei bata. Well, according to the Rosh, this din is even true lemaisa for us. And according to the Rambam, this din existed at one time in history, but post din derabanan of min b'shishim, lemaisa's din doesn't exist. This machlekes ultimately revolves around how to read pshat in the Gemara and Chulam, and the Gemara is discussing the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah that talks about different things that are never bought though. So the Mishnah singles out Giranosh is not bought though, and the Mishnah speaks about the Chetich Rul's Kabe not being bought though. So the Mishnah starts listing off the different things that are not bought though. So in each one of these things, so the Mishnah, the Gemara screams and says, what? Beliftal beruba? What do you mean it's not bottle? Let it be bottle berayv. So the Gemara has to answer, no, Hachamai Skina does a beria, Hachamai Skina does a chetichu iskabe. Every reason why the Mishnah gives, every reason the Gemara gives for the Mishnah, why certain things weren't bottle. But all the answers, all the responses of the Gemara are responding to that kasha of liftal beruba. So what do those words mean, liftal beruba? So according to the Rosh, those words were kipshutai. Lifta Baruba means, namely, the Amoraim in Bavel are asking Akash in the Mishnah, why isn't it Botel Barov? Even though the Amoraim knew full well what the Gemara said in the seventh parak, the Min B'min was Bishishim, how could you formulate the Akash of Lifta Baruba? Lifta Baruba. You just told me five blood earlier that is no thing as Bitl Bishishim anymore. So the answer is no. The Lifta Baruba means Bayavish Bayavish. That's exactly what the Gemara's Akash is. According to the Rush, this Chiluk is licked in the Gemara itself. On the beginning of this sugya, when the Gemara says min b'minu is b'shishim, and then two blot later the Gemara asks for lichto baruba, so the Rush says a chastira from one line to the Gemara to the next. The answer is not a stira. One's yavish b'yavish, one's lach b'lach. But according to the other Rishonim, those Rishonim will learn that min b'minu b'shishim is across the board. There's a gzeirah mid'rabban, din mid'rabban, called never is be'al t'miutu, has to be met in order for bittul to apply all the time. So it's a very very weak kash of the Gemara lichto baruba. So the Rishonim explained that Lifta Baruba didn't mean Rove. Lifta Baruba meant, what are you telling me it's Asa Lagamre? What are you telling me it's Asa B'mashu? It should be Batal B'Rove. B'Rove doesn't mean Turuba. B'Rove doesn't mean majority. B'Rove means a significant amount. It means whatever Rove is, whatever the numbers are. Shishim, Shloshim, Shlishim, Ameyah. You name your number. But at the end of the day, why does the Mishnah say it's Asa B'mashu? Why does the Mishnah say that one did anusha, asas all the given? Why does the Mishnah say one chatichas nevela, dag tummy, asas all the chatichas? That's not fair. That's not true. For lifto baruba, let a majority take over. What the number is, it's chad betray midiraisa, shisha midirabana. That's irrelevant. We're not learning the sugya right now. But for sure, it can't be asa b'mashu. That was the Gemara's kasha. So the pashas in the Gemara doesn't sound that way. The Gemara sounds like lifto baruba means, talking about lifto baruba. But whatever, some Rishonim, the Rambam has to defend himself by reformulating a bit what that Gemara means. So when all the dust settles, we have two different approaches in the Rishonim. What's the din? Is there a din of chad betray bato really truly midirabanan? Or is that only in the good old days before they instituted midirabanan din of shishim? Usually assume halacha l'kula, we paskin that, like the Rush, that the me'ikah mikra din, there really is a din of it being mutter. It's interesting because it comes out, in a certain sense, the Chumra Asal Tekula, because the Rishonim who held the Tamkikr is the Araisa, so they were free to explain that the Gzeir Derabban of Shisha was not the Tamkikr. So that led the corollary of that Chumra is now the Kula, that Gzeir doesn't make sense by Yavish B'Yavish. Those Rishonim who held like the Rambam, the Tamkikr was only with the Rabbanan, so they had to come up with another reason for the Gzeir of Shisha B'Mimimino, which forced you to be Machme even by Yavish B'Yavish. So every kula is a chumra, every chumra is a kula, just the way the dust settles in the sugya, it comes out a little bit strange. We paskin like the Rashba, we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, that there really is a tamkikah deraisa. Well, at least be selfish, we assume there is some kind of a tamkikah deraisa. So it makes sense that we paskin la halacha, like the Rashba, we paskin straight the Rashba in the sugya, that meikir adin, the gezeira, the rabban of shishim, doesn't really make sense by yavish, by yavish. When we speak about this, yeah.
Is that because it's also because it's nicker? No. Take out whatever.
It's not nicker. It's not nicker. We have three salamis and they don't have any labels on them anymore.
But the salami and the potatoes, that's not that case.
It sounds like you're never going to have a problem with it, right?
Right, but if we're talking about three pieces
of salami, it's all minotaur, it's not nicker. So this din that for sure everyone agrees to their eyes, that was never Shaila. And we've been quoted that even Rabbi Yehuda probably buys into this. That was Tosis, when we quoted from Rabbeinu Tam, that even Rabbi Yehuda holds that. Did everyone get excited when they heard the lining yesterday? I got so excited when I got to Rabbi Yehuda. I got to Dama Parva. I wanted to stop the Bakuri. Dama Parva, Dama Soy, can't lean so fast. Got to think about this a little bit. Tosis, the Matira in the Ra, the whole 9 yards. So Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by Tosis Menachas as saying that even Rabbi Yehuda is the biggest machmer under the sun of Min B'mina, Zachas B'mashu, even he agrees B'yavish B'yavish is Batal B'Rayv, because he has Mishnayis. The Mishnayis that talk about Rabbi Yehuda buying into the idea of Batal B'Rayv by Oral and other places. So Rabbeinu Tam says, I Rabbi Yehuda, Min B'mina, and a Batal. So the answer is, nah, that was Gzeir Sekosov by Yom Kippur. That was Gzeir Sekosov by Min B'mina, Derech Lach B'Lach. If it's not Derech Lach B'Lach, then even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree there's a din. So everybody agrees, everyone under the sun agrees that at least at one time in history, there was a din of Bittul Barov, and we agree, we paskin, even Bisman Hazer exists. So there is a real bona fide din called Bittul Barov, according to the way the Rishonim present it, although the Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, but the Rashba, right, it's based on Achara Mahatos. So there is such a din. So now comes Tosis and comes the Rashba and raise the following question. When you apply the principle of Bittul Barov, just how far does that go? So now I have two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of trefi meat. They're all mixed up together. So now what? So comes Taizen the Rashba and starts to raise very, very dakistic questions about when we say that it's mutter, what does that mean it's mutter? Does it mean it's mutter for me to eat all three pieces? Does it mean it's mutter for me to eat all three pieces together? Does it mean I can eat one piece, you can eat one piece, the other guy can eat one piece? At what point do we say that there are certain limitations on Bittul Barayv? So the Rishonim start to chisel away a little bit. So the different Rishonim present in different ways. Some Rishonim present that, well, to eat all three together, that you can't do. That's out of the question. Other Rishonim say, to eat all three together is a problem. Maybe it's not, you as a person shouldn't eat all three, even if you're not eating it together. You can't have one for breakfast, one for lunch, one for supper. You want to divide it up to three different people, maybe that's okay. So different Rishonim have different nuances, just to how bad it is for us to go ahead and eat all three together. So the Pasha's advarim is that all the Rishonim who are pupuling, Taisus by a Sofek and the Rashba's pupuling, what's considered to be bad, how bad is bad in terms of eating them all together, the Pasha's advarim is that these are really only chumras min derabbanan. The Pasha's advarim is like the Rush writes in the seventh parak of Chulin, is that min ha-Torah, for sure you can eat all three. Not only can you, for sure, eat three, all three of them separate, but you can eat all three together. You make a sandwich, you take a bite, the same swallow, a gulp from each three of the pieces. It's totally, completely mutter. Why is that such a rush? Because of the famous klal called Issa Nepach Leosetr. It's the opposite of Tom Kiker according to some. Tom Kiker according to some is Chlichnas Nevelos Heter Nepach Leosetr. This is Issa Nepach Leosetr. So the rush says it's Issa Nepach Leosetr. It's Mamshek eating three pieces of kosher food. It's Heter Gomer. So it's Pashas Advarim is that even the Rishonim who are questioning the application of the Rush are only questioning it on a level of the Rabbanim. Taiz is Mefalpel that maybe it's not right to eat all three. Maybe the Rush says to eat all three together is not right. All those nuances in Chumbras and Hidurim not to eat all three in different shapes or forms. So some Achranim right, those are all Chumbras mid the Rabbanim. Mid the Rice and the Rush is 100% right. That and the Rush holds even mid Rabbanim. The Rush holds there's no chumr the Rabbanim. The Rush says mamash het gomer lechet chilush mechachilus mahadim and mahadim to eat all three at the same time because of the principle called issa nepach liyosefer. In contrast to these Rishonim led by the Rush and probably followed by the Rashba and Tosfos at least the Raisa is of course the famous sheet of who's the big bar plukta of these Rishonim. The Maharam said it probably also in the mid Rabbanim. Who's the real bar plukta? Tosfos written by Basra. Was that the Maharam Kemos? Oh, I didn't put it on. I didn't put the Taiz in the Marah, but I did that. Who was with me Mivchesk Abatim? Nobody? Who? When Shechis Abatim time? Too long ago? Okay. So the Taiz is read in the third paragraph of Abbasra, in the middle of nowhere. So the Taiz is read writes that if a person will sit down and eat all three pieces, so he's going to be Oivanissa their Isa. And he says to such an extent that let's say there were three pieces of meat, two of them were Shuman, one of them is Chalev, and they all got mixed up together. He has no idea which is which. And he makes a sandwich, eats all three of them. And so the Taiz is read, is up. That he's chayav achatos. He didn't realize what he was doing. He went ahead and he ate all three pieces. He's chayav achatos. According to the Rush, we would have served it to him lechatchila. And according to the Tosfos Rid, you're chayav achatos. That means it's an issa d'oraisa. What's this Tosfos Rid based on? Where did he come off to say such a thing? You're chayav achatos. So the answer to this riddle is it's found in Baba Basra. That's why he appears in the third Baba Baba Basra. So in Perek Cheskes Abatim, the Gemara has a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda about the following shaila. You have two groups of Eidim. That are, this is more Baba Basra talk. Two groups of Edom contradict each other. One set of Edom says that Reuven broke the window. The other set of Edom says we were watching and Reuven did not break the window. If you have Azoma, if the second set of Edom said Imanu Hayisem, then the game's over. And then you believe the second one, the first sets are Edom Shakran and Torah's Vad. But if it's Edi HaKhosha, it's 2-1-2. So the message, you throw your hands up. What can you do? It's Edi HaKhosha. The two cancel each other. No Edom anymore. So no Edom. He's not going to have to pay. Fine. So Gemara quotes from Machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. What do we do now, tomorrow, when there's another din Torah, but a different case? This was Reuven Shimon. This is the Yosef and Binyamin. We're not sure whether Yosef borrowed $100 from Binyamin or not. Who are the Eidim? Baruch Habu. One of the two sets of Eidim walks into Beis Din. So what do we think about these Eidim? Tomorrow's case. Today's case, we threw them out. What do we think about them tomorrow? So Rav Huna says, what's the problem? Rav Huna says, we never said they were apostle. We have no idea whether they're apostle. They're a suffix apostle. So Edom that are Suffolk apostles like Rav Huna has a Cheskes Kashrus. For the last 20 years, these guys were assumed to be Edom Ksherim. Now we have a latest of Suffolk, whether they gave Edom Shekher or not. If we would know for a fact, let's say it would be Edom Hazom or something, we would know for a fact that the Edom are Shekheranim. So then we have to throw them out, and they're apostles of Chalei Deshematayim, until they're Chalei Deshematayim. But we don't know for a fact they're apostles. So it's a latest of Suffolk. So what do you do when you have a latest of Suffolk? It's a shtel of Chazaka. So you follow whatever the Chazaka was. Bayis HaManuga, right? We spoke about this more than once this year. You have a Suffolk, whether the neg has changed colors and changed size or not. So 5 minutes ago, it was a Maratome. So we assume it's still a Maratome. So to over here, if, until 5 minutes ago, we thought the Edom are Ksherim. Now we have a latest Asafik. We have unresolved doubt who is a liar. Somebody's a liar, but we don't know which one. So Rav Huna says, so you follow Chazocha, and each of the sets of Edom has a Cheskes Kashrus. And therefore, says Rav Huna, what's the din if tomorrow the first set of Edom are made against the Halvor between two different people? So then you accept the Raiders. And then the following day, the other set of Edom testify that somebody else broke somebody's arm. So you accept the Raiders also. So Beis Din is passing each claim. Beis Din is saying, today we paskin based on the first set of Edom. Tomorrow we'll paskin based on the second set of Edom. We were the latest asofeg. Everyone maybe is Edom Shakranim. It doesn't matter. That's the din. You follow Chazocha. So you follow Chazocha, these set of Edom Akosha. Follow Chazocha, these set of Edom Akosha. So Rav Chisda disagrees with Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Zobo b'fnei atzum ida, v'zobo b'fnei atzum ida. Rav Chisda said, what? V'hadei sad de shakri l'havali. Rav Chisda says, what do you mean? How can each one is a late, each one is a misafik posel? What right do you have to accept the Edus? You have to throw the whole Edus out. So what did Rav Chisda mean? What happened to Chazocha? V'hadei sad de shakri l'havali. So what happened to the Chazocha? So there's machlekes in Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that it's only a chumah midrabanan. Rav Chisda said, you're right. Minat Torah, Rav Huna is right. But I'm saying, I didn't have Edus like this. There's a 50-50 chance that the guys are liars. And they didn't, just because we couldn't prove it yesterday. It's a lasophic and we shouldn't accept them. Some of them say it's a chumid rabbanon. And others say, no, it's a mamash, a real sophic deraisa. Why don't you follow chazaka? You have to work out, you have to learn sheshma to figure out what's wrong with the chazaka. So even assuming that the apostle midaraisa, there's a further machlekes in Rishonim where the apostle matar is vad, the apostle matar is sophic. So Tosfos writes in a few places that even according to Rav Chisda, the only apostle matar is sophic. We can't say about the whole set, it's only a sophic. And other Rishonim seem to say, no, the mamash apostle matar is vad. Definitely apostle matar is vad. It's only a sophic when they're lying. So the teretz is that Nuchas Edus, one of the requirements of Edus is you have to be an Ish Neman. If we have a question about your integrity, so then you're possible. Teres Vaday. It means any Sophic in Uchas Edus by definition is absolved with Teres Vaday because we know for a fact that you're not certainty, not certainly an honest person. So since we have a latest Sophic about your honesty, Bemela, you're considered to be an eight possible with Teres Vaday. So you have different understandings in the Rishon, what the word of Chisda said. Was Rav Chisda Chum b'Derabbanan? Was Rav Chisda b'Torah Sofik deraisa? Was Chisda Torah Vada deraisa? That's what b'Das Rav Chisda. Well, we're not learning Chesabat now. We don't even pass like Rav Chisda. We pass like Rav Huna. We pass like Rav Huna that Zobav from the Atzam Ida, Zobav from the Atzam Ida. So each set of Edom can come and testify separately, and everything is a hunky dory. So come to Rishonim on the spot and say everything's hunky dory, but that's only true if they testify separately. It means Reuven and Shimon contradicted Levi and Yehuda yesterday. So Reuven and Shimon are still kosher, and Levi and Yehuda are kosher. What if a new din Torah comes up next week that the two Edom will walk the Beit Din together? He always got a list of the names. Yesterday it was Reuven and Shimon, contradicted by Levi and Yehuda. Today, Reuven and Levi walk in hand, arm to Beit Din to testify that Dan beat up Naphtali. So you have Reuven and Levi testifying together. So the Rashbam says, wait a second, hold on. You're going to accept the din Torah, you're going to accept an Edus of a Reuven and a Levi hand in hand. How can you accept such an Edus? You know you have one of the Edom lying. Bishlab, you want to accept Reuven and Shimon on a separate din Torah. You want to accept Levi and Yehuda on a separate din Torah. Okay, so Zayim, two both from the outside. Each one has a Cheskes Kashrus. But to go and mix and match one aid from group one and one aid from group two, Ein L'chatai D'Sasri. You think it's bad to daven 7 o'clock mincha on Friday? This is the worst. This is the Ein L'chatai, this is the ultimate tithe of D'Sasri. You're taking one aid who's a Suffolk Pulse and another aid Suffolk Pulse and combine them together. You can't do that. So that's the old Rishonim point out for the fact that the Gemara uses the lashon zubav b'fnei atzmum ida, zubav b'fnei atzmum ida. It's obvious that you can't mix and match the edim. So on that Gemara, zok the tizrid, that just as the Gemara says you can't mix and match edim because that's going to be a contradiction. So tizrid says, by the way, if you're learning your adaya, don't forget the following din. Four place in Shas says, don't forget the following din that if you have three pieces of meat that get mixed up together. You want to be the equivalent of Zubab between Atma, the Ochla. You want to eat one piece over here and you give another piece to somebody else and you give the third piece to somebody else. That I can handle. That's all right. Because each one is a Sofik. So each one, we have a right to follow the principles of Rov. So I can follow Rov to be Matanis. I can follow Rov to be Matan. But you go ahead and take both, all three pieces and make a sandwich out of them. So the Tesis Rid. So the whole Rov just fell by the wayside. The same way that Chazaka doesn't work when you have a Tata Disasri, that's the Lashon of the Rishonim, that was the Diyuk with Asra Huda. It's only Zubav for Atzmum Ida, but once you start to cross together, it's a problem. So just as Tata Disasri undermines the principle of Chazaka Mekara, Tata Disasri undermines the principle of Raiv as well. That's the Tata Disasri's Marshal.
Is he saying like Tosis or like Rashba, can one person eat all three separately? Or can
I don't think so. I think if you have one person doing it, it doesn't matter whether it's the same time.
So it's like Tosis.
But Tosis, but the Pash, Moses Echran learned by Tosis, the Chumah Midrabanan.
It's really saying it's not the same life.
Right. But it comes up much more serious. Right.
I understand that we have the right to be able to do Patul. Yeah, we are able to do Patul. We are able to do Patul Rov. Does anyone say that in Vatlin the
Chatkila? In Vatlin, we didn't do this on purpose. It happened.
If I want to eat, I'm now going to eat. I know one of them is us.
That's not called Imvatlin. Imvatlin the Chatkila means I closed my eyes and threw all together into the box, into the salt together. That's called Imvatlin the Chatkila. But once
it's. I don't think which ones are us, but I mean, by me holding my robe, doesn't by. Proxy make it
the Vatel. Then all bittul like that. What are we learning the Tarobas for then? Every Tarobas is like that. The Tarobas happened, and now I'm coming to ask a Shaila. Can I rely on Rove? Can I rely on Shishim? So that's what the Vatel is like. That's ready for the Tarobas. Okay? The Vatel is like a means to create the Tarobas with Chila, not to apply the Psach Loch. Psach Loch you will not apply.
Right, but then you just have to decide if you can or can't eat it.
Right.
Just clarification. Is it
in Tosfos
written or
in Tosfos Rash? Tosfos written in Bava Basra. Tosfos written in the Flamen Aleph in the Beis, in the beginning of Chesed Batim. So how would the Rosh respond to this comparison of the Tosfos written? So the answer is pretty poshut. The Rosh would say that the two have mamash nothing to do with each other. When you're dealing with Chazoka, so Chazoka is a response to Spekis. So when you have a Sofek, which is the Eidim HaKosher, yeah? So I understand you still have Chazoka. So now the Gemara is saying, the deal that Rishonim making the Gemara in Bava Basra is that true, you're allowed to respond to a Sofek by a Chazoka, but since you're passing a Shayla of a Spekis, so once you reach the point of Tati Desasra, this can't Sofek anymore. So that's what the Rishonim is saying, that once you try to combine Reuven and Levi to go arm in arm to Beis Din to be made next week against somebody else, you're not a getter in a Sofek anymore. Tati Desasra undermines Spekis. So once you undermine Spekis, so then the whole Klal of Chazoka is a way that you address a Sofek. So once you no longer have a sofek, you have no right to rely on chazok anymore. Masha'in came, bitul b'roiv is a different din l'gamri, the Rosh would argue. Bitul b'roiv is not a sofek. It's not that I have a sofek, I have two against one. So what do you do in a chazok? He opened up sheshmaitz and says, oh, you can rely on the odds are, if you eat one of the pieces, you're okay. That's what Tazrid has learned. Tazrid has learned that bitul b'roiv is like the odds. It means you're allowed to play the game. The same way the Torah says, You can rely on the chazakas, so you can rely on the rov. The odds are you're probably okay. The odds are the status quo is probably intact. So that's what the Tosfos Rit said. Well, if the Gemara is undermining the ability to rely on status quo, but welcome to the Sas, right? Then we can extrapolate from there, you can't rely on Bittul B'Rov either. So that's exactly what the Rosh says. That's exactly what Bittul B'Rov is not. Bittul B'Rov is not a sofek. Bittul B'Rov doesn't mean that the numbers are in your favor. They're not your numbers. The game is over. You know why Bittul B'Rov works? It's a Gezeres HaKosa quote. It's an Epech Lios Heter. It's a Davra Mutter. I have three kosher pieces of salami in front of me. It's not that I can risk it and take a chance and there's a 66 to 33 chance that I'm okay. That's not how it works. Bittul B'Rov means that you now have three pieces of meat that are kosher. So if I have three pieces of meat that I'm kosher, so we're going to tie to the size. There's no tie to the whole idea of tie to the size. Doesn't make any sense by Bittul B'Rov. So this Machlekes in the Tosfos Rit against the Rosh and the Seven Pekel Chulin is so profound, is so fundamental, what the very nature, the very essence of Bittul B'Rov is. The text is written, learned that Bittul B'Rov is like a Shef Shmaita Sugya. It's like a Svei. How to respond to Sveikas in Halacha? So the Rishonim are putting the brakes. You can't respond to Sveikas when there's Nishkin Sofek in it. Without disaster, undermines the Shem Sofek. Whereas the Rosh is saying that Bittul B'Rov has nothing to do with Sveikas. Bittul B'Rov is a different Halacha. It's a Din of Isa Nepech Lios Eter. It's out of the realm of Sveikas. Therefore, it's totally mut, even when you have to bring. So on a level of the Araisa, most Rishonim don't buy into the Tosfos Rit. Whether or not some Rishonim buy into the Lamais may end up in the same place as the Tosfos Rit, that's subject for discussion. But on a level of the Araisa, most probably we don't accept the Tosfos Rit's dinyan between the Chazokas and the Bittul B'Rov. How does this play out now, really, really Lamaisa? So we'll take this for the next year on Tuesday. We'll try to take this one step further. Where does this play out Lamaisa for us in terms of eating all three separately, cooking all three together? How does all of this play out for Mitzvah Shalom? So we don't have a minion now.
Yeah, well, if we could find two other guys.